on Facebook. We are here on Zoom, and it's, as always, such a wonderful, beautiful opportunity to be able to learn together on this magnificent morning. And today what I want to do is study, honestly, one of my favorite Prakim of Tehillim in the entire book, and it couldn't be more apropos to the time period that you and I are about to experience, and that is none other than Yom Yerushalayim. Now, we are going to have a lot of programming for Yom Yerushalayim. We have a wine tasting tonight with Amichai Luri from Shiloh Winery. Tomorrow morning, we have programs with Rabbi Aryeh Lightstone, who's the chief of staff to the U.S. ambassador to Israel. We have a program with our old teen rabbi, Rabbi Uri Pilichowski, who will be speaking from Israel. So we have a lot going on, but today I want to kind of give us a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a foreshadowing of Yom Yerushalayim, and that is by learning chapter 122 of Tehillim. And as I said, in many respects, it is my favorite chapter of Tehillim. There's one particular pasuk in here that is absolutely my favorite pasuk in all of Tehillim, and I'll explain why. And that's because no matter which parish you read about it, it is unbelievable relevant to the day and age that you and I are living in. And when I read each parish, you are going to chuckle. You're going to say to yourself, wow, Rabbi Moskowitz, you spoke exactly to the day and age that we are living in. So it's an amazing Perek Tehillim, chapter 122. Many of the lines are going to be famous to you. Many of the lines are going to be new to you. But hopefully, as I do each and every week, I try to give new interpretation, new meaning to all of it. As I introduce Tehillim each and every week, I would like to remind you once again, Tehillim, while we are learning Tehillim and we're studying Tehillim and we're understanding different Perushim's explanations of Tehillim, ultimately Tehillim is supposed to come from here. It's supposed to come from the heart. It's a song that you and I are supposed to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. In this case, we'll see it's a yearning for a time when we can return to Yerushalayim, something that, thank God, you and I have seen the fulfillment of in our day and age. But it's something that you're supposed to take this class and make it relevant for you. So here's the homework. I'm giving you the homework up front. Usually teachers wait until the end of the class to give homework. I am giving homework right off the bat. The homework is you and I are going to study chapter 122 of Tehillim right now. At the end of the class, I'll, please God, hopefully get text messages and emails like I normally do. Rabbi Moskowitz, great class. You gave me new insight in Tehillim. But tonight, tomorrow is Yom Yerushalayim. I don't want you to just email me and say, wow, that was a beautiful Radak or that was a beautiful Malbim. I want you to take 3 minutes, whether tonight or tomorrow, and read this chapter of Tehillim on your own, taking one or two of the lessons that we studied this morning, and I want you to make it your own, to sing a song to Hashem in appreciation for the day and age that you and I are living in, for the ability to access Yerushalayim, to be able to travel, please God, soon, for those of us who are in Boca, please God, soon to Yerushalayim, and to really see the fulfillment of so many of these tefillos of David HaMelech, who never could have dreamed of a day and age that you and I are living in. Now, what makes this so unbelievably relevant? As you will see, it's a song for Yerushalayim, and that's what makes it so apropos, because tonight and tomorrow is Yom Yerushalayim. But just as importantly, as we'll see, it is a song about Shavuos. It's a holiday about Shavuos. Now, how do I know it's a holiday about Shavuos? I'm going to share my screen with you right now, and I will prove to you that it's a holiday about Shavuos. And that is because the following. The chapter of Tehillim says right here. Here we go. The Mishnah. I'm quoting the Rambam, but it's actually a Mishnah in Yerushalmi Bikurim. And the Mishnah says the following, Ketzad Malim Es Bikurim. Now you might say, Rabbi Moskowitz, why are you speaking about Bikurim? Well, it's very obvious why I'm speaking about Bikurim, because the holiday of Shavuos is when we brought the Bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash. So Ketzad Malim Es Bikurim, the Rambam wonders, how did they bring the Bikurim? Kol HaYaro Shebemamad Miskan Sos Le'iro. There was a whole elaborate scheme, a whole elaborate process of everyone joining together, because the Pasuk says, Barovam Hadras Melech, that we want a lot of people to be participating in this amazing mitzvah. And they would come and they would all sleep literally in town square. You have to envision Times Square filled with Jews preparing for Aliyah L'Regel. It was an unbelievable sight. And then they would get up in the morning and they would say, Kumu V'na'alet Tzion El Adonai Eloheinu, come, let's go. Let's go together up to Yerushalayim. V'hashor holeich lifnehem v'karnav mitzupim zav, and an ox would be traveling in front and he would be all ordained. There was an enormous amount of pomp and circumstance and pageantry surrounding this. V'achalil maka lifnehem, and before them there was a band. The chalil, they were playing flutes and trumpets, and you have to envision this whole elaborate concert going on. Ad sheim magin karov liyushalayim. Up until when they came close to Yerushalayim, veim holchim b'chol haderech. V'korin, what would they say as they were coming up to Yerushalayim? Samachti ba'omrim li beis Adonai nelech. The very first pasuk of the chapter that you and I are going to read. So this isn't just a chapter about Yerushalayim. It's clearly a chapter about the Bikurim as well. It's a chapter about Shavuos. And we have to figure out how exactly all of these themes interplay with one another, what exactly this chapter of Tehillim is meant to teach us. Now, it's not just about Shavuos, and it's not just a generic chapter about Tehillim that David HaMelech sang, but it's also so relevant to our day and age. Some of you might be old enough to remember this. Some of us on this call, we're not even born yet, but for those of you who have at least heard the clip, you will know that when the radio announcers in 1967 announced that Yerushalayim was liberated, immediately after the announcement that the old city had been liberated, the radio announcer began reciting this chapter of Tehillim. And the reason why, obviously, he started reciting this chapter of Tehillim was very obvious, because it refers to it as an ir shechubra la'yachdav. It's a city that unites. Now, we'll learn that's not exactly the interpretation that the Rishonim read into it, but as that radio announcer was sitting there on that amazing day, when for the first time in close to 2,000 years, Yerushalayim was united for the people, the east side of Yerushalayim and the west side of Yerushalayim was finally united, and the Jewish people had sovereignty over a united Yerushalayim. The only thing the radio announcer could do was sing our chapter of Tehillim. And so what better chapter to study as we approach Yom Yerushalayim? We remember the great miracles of our day and age. What better chapter to read as we approach Shavuos, the actual chapter of Tehillim that they recited as they were Aliyah L'Regel, as they came up to Yerushalayim for the holiday of Shavuos, and most importantly, what we always do. As we remember, Tehillim is not just about the past, but it's about the present. We try to find relevancy for our day and age. We try to make it appropriate and relevant to the experiences that you and I are going through. So here we go. Chapter 122 of Tehillim, Shir HaMalos. It's one of the 15 Shir HaMalos that we are reading now, LeDavid. Samachti ba'omrim li, beis Adonai nelech. I have rejoiced ba'omrim li, when they have told me, beis Adonai nelech, that we are going to the house of Hashem. Now the Radak points out that this is a mizmor of the Bnei Galut. Ve'amizmor hazeh ma'amar Bnei HaGalut. Umeirov ta'avasam lebinyan beis hamikdash, right? This is the Jews when they're still in exile. Umeirov ta'avasam, out of their great desire, to their great yearning for the rebuilding of the beis hamikdash, they sing this song. What's amazing about the Radak's interpretation of this chapter of Tehillim is it is prospective. They're not even talking about an experience that they've already had. They want Yerushalayim so badly that they're singing this song. Now you'll notice also that there's an inherent inconsistency in this very first pasuk. It talks about David in Samachti Bomrim Li Beis Adonai Nelech. How could it be that David is singing about the Beis HaMikdash? David wasn't even alive when the Beis HaMikdash was being rebuilt. And that simply fortifies this notion of the Radak that it's talking about something that's going to happen in the future, right? That David HaMelech is excited about the prospect that even though he will not be able to build their Beis HaMikdash, that Shlomo HaMelech, his son, will be able to build it, and he will be a part of that narrative. So here you have the Jews who are in exile, and they are yearning, they are pining, Meirov Tavasam, for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And what will they say? Pasuk Bet, Omdos Hayu Raglenu Bisharayich Yerushalayim. One of my absolute favorite psukim in all of Tehillim. Omdos Hayu Raglino. I'm going to share my screen for those who don't have it in front of them. Oop. What did I just do there? Here we go. Right? So, Omdos Hayu Raglino, Bisharayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood inside your gates of Yerushalayim. Now, you might think this is simply an innocuous pasuk. What's the big deal about this pasuk? I want to share with you five different interpretations. Each one is absolutely more magnificent than the other, and will blow your mind to it. I promise you. Every class I tell you, there's something I'm going to say that's worth the price of admission, which is free. This is worth the price of admission. Here we go. Five interpretations. Pasuk 2, Omdos Hayu Raglenu, that our feet stood still at the gates of Yerushalayim. First, the Hasidim point out, what's Omdos Hayu Raglenu? That the only way to truly appreciate life sometimes is by Omdos Hayu Raglenu. Sometimes you have to stand still and smell the coffee. If you're constantly running through life, you know what you are going to miss out on? The great blessings that are around you. If you're constantly getting up and you're running to here in the rat race of life, you're going to miss out on all of the blessings. And so says David HaMelech, Omdos Hayu Raglenu. Sometimes you know what you have to do? Sometimes you have to stand still. Sometimes you have to stop and smell the roses. If you want, you could read my blog this week. I wrote about this, that sometimes slowing down actually speeds us up in a life of fulfillment and meaning and passion. But that's exactly what this chapter of Tehillim is talking about. Omdos Hayu Raglenu. That if you want to really appreciate Yerushalayim, if you want to really appreciate the beautiful, magnificent creations around us, then it has to be Omdos Hayu Raglenu. Then our feet have to stand still sometimes. We have to stop and literally smell the roses and appreciate the brachos that Hashem has around us. That's understanding number one. Understanding number two comes from the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes something amazing. He says, "Vehanachon kihi haisa meleya adam, vahayinu misarvim bisharim, lo nuchali kanes mirov ha'am habaim v'hayotzim." Unbelievable, says the Ibn Ezra. You want to know why Omdos Hayu Raglenu? You want to know why they were standing still? Because they were in traffic. I'm not making this up. It's an Ibn Ezra. They were in traffic. Kihi haisa meleya adam. There were so many people. Lo nuchali kanes. They couldn't get in. There was so much traffic going on here. They were clamoring to get in. They couldn't move. You and I have all been in traffic, but usually it's useless traffic. If you take this comment of Ibn Ezra, it's an amazing idea. There are a number of people listening right now, and I'm venturing to say that many of us have had the opportunity to drive up Kvish Echad, up Highway 1, as we enter into Yerushalayim. And if you've ever done that, you will know that there is an extraordinary amount of traffic as you come into Yerushalayim. And if you're like me, I get the heebie-jeebies in traffic. I don't like traffic, right? I get a little anxious in traffic. So if you're like me and you're sitting in traffic, you're getting anxious, you're getting annoyed, you're getting, right? Next time you're sitting in traffic, on the way into Yerushalayim, think about this comment of the Ibn Ezra. Because what it means is that when you and I are sitting in traffic on the way into Yerushalayim, because there's so many people clamoring to get in, it is a fulfillment of this Perek of Tehillim. Think about that. It's a fulfillment of David HaMelech's dream that there would be so many people trying to get into Yerushalayim that there would be a traffic jam. And so for those of you who own in Yerushalayim, who traveled Yerushalayim, who vacation Yerushalayim, some of you here might be living in Yerushalayim right now, next time you're in traffic and you're about to honk at the guy in front of you and slam on the steering wheel and say, "Ah, what?" Stop for a second and say, me being in traffic right now is a fulfillment of this pasuk. Omdos Hayu Raglenu Bisharayich Yerushalayim. We had to stand still in traffic because, please God, there would be so many people clamoring to get in that there would be a massive traffic jam. Unbelievable. The Ibn Ezra says you and I are living a fulfillment of that pasuk in Tehillim this day. Every single time you are stuck in traffic in Yerushalayim. That is number two. Number three, this is going to blow your mind away as well. The Radak, Rav David Kimchi, writes the following. What's Omdos Hayu Raglenu? Why are they standing still? Ha'olim harishonim hayu omdim b'sha'arim umitzapim habayim achareim. Whoa. This should be the Nefesh B'Nefesh tagline. This Radak right here. Ha'olim harishonim. Those who made Aliyah first, hayu omdim b'sha'arim. They were standing at the gates. They were standing at Ben-Gurion Airport. Umitzapim habayim achareim. And they were waiting for the rest of us to join them. Whoa, what an amazing radak. Omdos Hayu Raglenu, who's standing? It's the people who made Aliyah first. They're standing and waiting to help others make Aliyah and to think about making a home in Eretz Yisrael. It means that according to the Radak, you and I are living in a time where we see the fulfillment of this pasuk in Tehillim. Because, Baruch Hashem, we live in a day and age where many people are making Aliyah, and if we aren't yet, we should certainly be thinking about it. And those people who made Aliyah before us are paving the way for us to be able to make Aliyah after them. Think about my predecessor here as the associate rabbi at BRS, Rabbi Josh Fass, who went to Israel, started Nefesh B'Nefesh, Tony Gelbart, a member of BRS. They are literally the fulfillment of Om Dos Hayu Raglenu B'Sharayach Yushalayim. They are a fulfillment of this pasuk. They made Aliyah, and they are in Yerushalayim U'mitzapim Habayim Achareim. They are yearning and preparing for us to be able to join them. So the Radak says, every single person who made Aliyah from America, from France, from wherever in the diaspora, they are a fulfillment of this pasuk. They are a fulfillment of being the Olim Harishonim, being the original pioneers making Aliyah, and they are sitting, they are Omdos Hayu Raglenu. They are standing in Israel. They are standing in Yerushalayim, in Modi'in, in Beit Shemesh, in Chashmonaim. They are standing in all these places. U'mitzapim haba'im achreim. And they are preparing and yearning for you and I to be able to join them. Wow. I told you these were good ones. So we had, number one was the Hasidic approach. Omdos, that you have to stand still sometimes to smell the roses. We had the Ibn Ezra, the beautiful idea, next time you're sitting in traffic in Israel, don't get frustrated, but say, Baruch Hashem, I'm living in a fulfillment of this pasuk. We had the Radak who said that those Olim Harishonim, those who made Aliyah before us, they are preparing the way. That's the fulfillment. Omdos Hayu Raglenu, they're standing in Israel and they're waiting for us. They can't wait to greet us at Ben-Gurion Airport when you and I should be zochet to be able to join them. And then we come to Rashi. Rashi is unbelievable. I couldn't make it up if I tried. Rashi says the following. What's Omdos Hayu Raglenu? Says Rashi, Bamilchama, in a time of war. What happens in a time of war? Bichol Makom, when there's war anywhere in the world. Bishvil Sha'arayich Yushalayim, Sha'oskin Bahem Batorah. You know what gives us the ability to succeed in war? Jews anywhere, Israel, the diaspora. You know what enables us to overcome any hardship, any enemies that come our way? Says Rashi, it's very simple. Bishvil Sha'arayich Yushalayim. It's because of the gates of Yushalayim, Sha'oskim Bahem Batorah. What gives us the spiritual cover all around the world? What enables us to be successful and persevere whenever our enemies attempt to harm us or destroy us or persecute us? Says Rashi, is those in Yerushalayim, Sha'oskim Behem Batorah. It's those in Yerushalayim that are sitting and learning Torah. What a Rashi. What a Rashi. And I want to tell you a story about this Rashi. In the Second Lebanon War, 2006, I was actually in Eretz Israel during the Second Lebanon War. I was in the Negev. I was in a city called Yerucham with a program from Yeshiva University, which no longer exists. But at the time, it existed. It was actually the summer that I was dating Ariel. I racked up a phone bill that summer that would make many of you cry. Ariel and I had been dating for a month. We knew it was serious. Why you wanted to send me to Israel? I said, I'm happy to go to Israel, but I need a phone. Again, these were before the times that cell phones were so ubiquitous. I said, I need a cell phone. I'm dating a girl. It's got to happen. Why you said, take the phone. Don't worry about it. Little did they know that Ariel and I would spend a lot of time on the phone that summer, and the cell phone bill was quite significant. Anyways, so I was in a city called Yerucham, which is in the Negev, so I was very far away from what was happening in the north, and part of the strange element of that was that you didn't feel the war. In the Negev, had I not turned on CNN or the local news, I would have had no clue what was taking on in the northern part of the country, and that was kind of the bifurcation that was existing in Israel. Right? If you were living up north, if you were living in parts of the country that were impacted by the bombs coming in, so obviously it was very real for you. If you were living in the south and other parts where at the time the bombs weren't as much of a threat, the missiles weren't as much of a threat, so you're kind of oblivious to what was going on. It was very hard to relate. And I remember commenting to people that I was in the south, they were in the north, and if I felt so weird being in Israel, not even feeling the effects of the war. That was a summer, if you recall. And in the summer after Tisha B'Av, there's usually Bein Hazmanim. All the yeshivas take off for 3 weeks in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rav Avadia Yosef comes out during the Second Lebanon War and tells all students in yeshiva that you better stay in yeshiva during Bein HaZmanim. Don't think that you're going to go home for vacation when there are soldiers on the front lines in Lebanon putting their lives on the line. And Rav Avadia told the students in yeshiva, and again, we can debate at a different time, draft, not draft, yeshiva students, that's irrelevant to this conversation. Rav Avadia told the yeshiva students that so long as there are Israeli soldiers on the front lines fighting a war in Lebanon, don't you dare leave the base medrash. Your job is to be there to spiritually protect the Jewish people. And I remember hearing Rav Avadia say that and saying to myself, that is this Rashi. That is Omdos Hayu Raglenu Bisharayach Yushalayim. Listen to the words of Rashi again. Bishvil Sharayach Yushalayim Sha'oskim Bahen Batorah. That what gives us the protection in war, says Rashi, it's because there are those who are sitting and learning our sacred Torah. That there are a form of physical protection that the Jewish people need. Baruch Hashem, we have an IDF, we have an army, we're able to protect ourselves. But says Rashi, said Rav Avadia Yosef, don't think that we also don't need spiritual protection. Bishvil sha'arayich Yerushalayim sha'oskin behem b'Torah. Because of the kolels and the people that are learning in Yerushalayim, that gives us a form of spiritual protection as well. So we've only gotten in two psukim, the second pasuk, and that's why I share it with such excitement, because I told you it's one of my favorite psukim in all of Tanakh. We learned five different interpretations. That may have been four. Four different, I owe you a fifth. Interpretation number one was the Metzudas David. That again, I'm saying Ibn Ezra. That there would be so much traffic. And every time you and I are in traffic, I want you to think about that, Ibn Ezra. I want me to pop up in your head. Number two is the Radak. That the first people who make Aliyah prepare for the second wave of Aliyah. Fulfillment of our days. Nefesh B'Nefesh, Rabbi Fast, Tony Gelbart. Number three, this beautiful idea of Rashi. That it's the people that are learning in Yerushalayim, in the Sharayich Yerushalayim, in the gates of Jerusalem, that give us a spiritual protection in a time of war. And the last one that I want to show, oh, and then Omdos, the Hasidic approach, that they were standing still. Sometimes you have to stop to be able to smell the roses. And the last one that I owe you. The last one that I owe you, why were they standing firm? Because they were in so much awe. Tzudas David points this out. They were just in awe. Many of us have had that experience. I'll speak personally. I won't impose that on any of you. But I know I've definitely had that experience. It's my favorite thing to do in the world. You know that feeling when you come into Yerushalayim through Shar Yafo and you wind your way through the alleys and you come then to the Rova and then you start walking down and there's the bagel place on your right and there's a burger's bar on your left and right and you come by and then there's like Yeshivat HaKotel right there and then you get to the top of the steps. Now I know you've had this experience, right? You come to the top of the steps and then you stop. Every one of us has had that feeling. Anyone who's ever been zocha to be at the Kotel, you stop. And if you're like me, you just stand there and stare in awe and amazement. And that is the moment of many moments in my life where I sit there and I cry. You cry for the Churban, you cry for the beauty, you cry for the awesomeness of it. You just cry because it's such a majestic, extraordinary experience. Even before you go down the stairs, so many of us just stand there. You know where I'm talking about, right? You stand there at that. There's a little platform there. In like, first of all, if you have trouble with the steps, that's like a respite. That's an oasis in a lot of steps to get down to the Kotel, right? But you stand there and you just stare in awe and amazement. That says some of the Mefarshim is Omdos Hayu Raglenu. That you simply can't come into Yerushalayim. That for everyone, there's that moment where you just stand and you say, I'm home. This is where I'm meant to be. For me also, when I'm driving up the highway, there's that sign, Bruchim Habaim, right when you're coming up the, right? I see Chaim, you see what I'm talking about? I get that experience when I see that sign. It's a sign, it's the Jewish people for generations and generations, for thousands of years, is telling Philip Moskowitz, welcome home. Bruchim Habaim, welcome home. So there are points in Yerushalayim where sometimes we just stand still and we soak it all in. That we're in such awe and amazement that we just want to take it all in at that moment. That's the fifth interpretation of Omdos Hayu Raglenu B'Sharayich Yerushalayim. I give you five. Choose one. Choose one. Meditate, reflect upon one, and integrate it into your very essence so that the next time you're in Yerushalayim and you're walking down those steps or you're sitting in traffic, you think about these words, you think about one of the Perushim. Okay, so we started off, Samachti Be'omrim Li, this is a song of rejoicing. It's a song of happiness. Omdos Hayu Raglenu, we're coming, we're sitting, there's so excitement that we're about to enter into Yerushalayim. Pasuk 3, Yerushalayim Habanuya, we are yearning for a time of a Yerushalayim that's rebuilt. Ki'ir Shechubra La Yachdav. What is Yerushalayim? It is a city that unites. It is a city that unites people. I'll give you the greatest analogy of this. Anyone who has ever been to the Kotel on a Friday night has had this experience, that Yerushalayim is a city that unites. You have Hasidim and Litvish Haredim. You have people in Kippot Srugot. You have soldiers. You have people who never serve in the army. You have Chilonim. You have everyone under the sun, and they're coming there as a fulfillment of Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav. I remember vividly, Rabbi Brody will remember this as well. Rabbi Brody and I were leading a mission of federation to Israel. Many of the people had never been to the Kotel before. Believe it or not, many people from our community have never been to the Kotel, even if they had been to Israel. And we took one gentleman from our community to, he's actually a very prestigious member of our community now, but we took him to the Kotel for the very first time on a Friday night. And at one point, we were dancing, and it's like a whole hullabaloo with the soldiers, and there's a whole system to it, and we're sitting and we're dancing, and, you know, I guess I'm somewhat used to it. So obviously, it's special every time, but I've been there before. And I look over at him, he's crying, which is not unusual for people to cry at the Kotel. So I asked him, I said, what about this experience? What about this experience is making you cry? Is it a connection to Hashem? Is it a connection to history? He said, I've never seen so many different types of Jews singing and dancing together. He said, and that is what's bringing tears to my eyes. Right? Where else in the world do you go on a Friday night and see so many different Jews from backgrounds and histories and cultures and religious observance all coming together simply because Yerushalayim is an Ir Shechubra LaYachdav, because it's a city that ultimately unites. I want to share with you a beautiful Dvar Torah on this pasuk and then a story about it. So Yerushalayim, the name itself, already testifies to the fact that it's an Ir Shechubra LaYachdav. Right? The Meshech Chachma points out that where does the word Yerushalayim come from? So it's a combination of two words. First of all, Avram Avinu calls it Hashem Yireh, that it's a place where God will see or God will be seen. And Malki Tzedek calls it Melech Shalem. He's the Melech of Shalem, which we know as Yerushalayim. So Hashem says, I don't know which one to name it. If I name it Yireh, then Malki Tzedek will be insulted. Malki Tzedek, we of course know, is shame. Right? If I name it Shalem, then Avram Avinu is going to be insulted. So what does the Medrash say Hashem does? He names it both Yerushalayim, Yireh, Shalem. Yireh from Avram Avinu, Shalem from shame. So the name Yerushalayim is a combination. The name itself is a form of unification. Okay? Now, I want to share a story. This was written up by Rabbi Mordechai Willig, my Rebbe, privileged to be in a shir for a number of years. And Rabbi Willig was in Keren B'Yavne in 1967. 1967, on Yerushalayim, so obviously it was the year that the 67 war, right? That was the year that we were reunification of Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Willig writes the following. Exactly 1 week after Yom Yerushalayim, at dawn on Shavuos, right, you know many people, if you've ever been in Yerushalayim on Shavuos, you know a lot of people come to the Kotel for Vasikin. The public was allowed to enter the old city and daven at the Kotel. I was privileged to attend that unforgettable event. After the traditional Mishmar, right, learning, and Shachris Vasikin, davening at sunrise, the Talmidim of Keren B'Yavne joined the early morning crowd. We sang and danced to the words of Tehillim Kuf Chaf Bet, our parak of Tehillim, as we entered the old city of Yerushalayim. They were singing our song, ladies and gentlemen. The words of Musaf at the Kosel, bring us Tzion, your city, with joy, were recited with great emotion and exultation. Among the most remarkable and unforgettable highlights of that march was the fulfillment of Yerushalayim Habnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachdav, Yerushalayim the built, a city that connects Jews to one another. Chasidim in their holiday strimels, yeshiva students wearing knitted kippot, and bareheaded Jews with cameras strung over their shoulders danced together on that day. It was a taste of the unity of Messianic times, and it was followed by the Baal Tshuva movement. Writes Rabbi Mordechai Willig, was there the few days after the original Yom Yerushalayim, after the original reunification of Yerushalayim, and already then, Yerushalayim was a fulfillment of Kir Shechurba LeYachdav, was a fulfillment of Jews from all walks of life coming to Yerushalayim. So the next time you're in Yerushalayim, and you come to the Kotel, and you're sitting there, whether it's a Friday night or a Shabbos morning or a Thursday afternoon, and you see Jews from all different stripes and backgrounds and cultures and walks of life and traditions, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Realize that's a fulfillment of Pasa Gimel. Yerushalayim Havnuya Ki'ir Shechurba LaYachdav, like a city that unites its inhabitants. Now you'll notice it doesn't say Ir Shechurba LaYachdav. It's not a city, it's Ki'ir. It's like a city. And Rashi points out there's a very simple reason for it. Because we have to always remember that there are two Yerushalayims. There's a Yerushalayim Shalmata, there's a Yerushalayim here on this earth, and a Yerushalayim Shel Mala. There's Yerushalayim that exists in the heavens. Our job is to unite the two of those. That's when Mashiach comes. Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav, when we're able to unite the Yerushalayim Shamala and the Yerushalayim Shamata through our actions, that is ultimately what is going to build the ultimate Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, in the greatest sense, with the Beis HaMikdash and with the coming of Mashiach. Pasuk Dalet Sheshama Alu Shvatim Shifteya Edus LeYisrael Leodos L'Shem Adonai. Sheshama Alu, what's going to happen to Yerushalayim? So all the Shifatim, all the 12 tribes, again, the full gamut, the full diversity of the Jewish people, are going to come Lehodos L'Shem Adonai. They're going to come to sing songs of praise to Hashem. The Meforshim point out something beautiful. What's the greatest praise we can give Hashem? It's when all Jews come together in unity and from different walks of life. Right? Think about any parent. Any parent knows that the greatest nachas you get is when you see your children get along. Right? When your children fight, it's the most painful thing for a parent or a grandparent to experience. When you're sitting around the table, it could be Thanksgiving, it could be Pesach, it could be whatever, and all of your children, grandchildren are sitting there laughing and just enjoying time together, sometimes you just sit back and you say, this is bliss, this is life, right? That's the greatest gift you guys can give me, is when you're all playing board games together on a Pesach afternoon. Hashem feels the same way. Right? Shesham alu shvatim, when all of the tribes come together, Lahodos L'Shem Adonai, that, says the Meforshim, is the greatest praise. It's the greatest gift we can give Hashem, is simply to get along one with another. That's all Hashem wants from us. Ki shama yashvu, kisos l'mishpat, kisos l'veis David. A very important pasuk, pasuk 5. Right? What do we unify for? So we know that there are lots of different unity. There are lots of different gatherings. Right? There have been movements throughout history that have tried to unify people. But those always haven't been for good, right? Russia tried to unify people, but it was for nefarious purposes, right? Germany tried to unify people, but it was for nefarious purposes. What makes us unique and different is that when we get together, it's not to wage war, it's not to say we're better than anyone else, right? What do we do? Kisos l'mishpat. What do we? We're spreading Torah. We're spreading Hashem's words, right? Not all gatherings are the same. What do we Jews gather for? We gather for justice. We gather to promote Hashem in this world. Pasuk 6, another magnificent, beautiful pasuk. Sha'alu shlom Yerushalayim. Pray for Yerushalayim's peace. Yishlayu ohavayich. It's somewhat repetitive, and I'll explain in a second exactly why. Pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. Pasuk 7, Yihi shalom bechelech. May there be peace in their borders. Shalva be'armonosayich. Peace, serenity, tranquility amongst its armonosayich, amongst its palaces. Lamana chai v'rei'ai, on behalf of my brothers, right, and my friends, adabra na shalom bach, I will speak peace of Yerushalayim. Mitzudas David points out on that last point, lamana chai v'rei'ai, he says, ki lukol echad mibnei agola omer, it's as if everyone in the diaspora says, lo ba'avor atzmi bilvad es palel al shlom ha'ir. I'm not just davening for Yerushalayim for my own sake. Ella, rather, kol echad ki'im gam ba'avor achai v'rei'ai, heima kol b'nei Yisrael. I don't just daven for myself, and I don't just daven for my nephew who happens to be in the army. I daven for everyone. Lamana chai v'rei'ai. We don't just daven for our own peace here in Boca Raton, and not care about anybody else. We don't just say, as long as the circle's safe, we don't worry about anti-Semitism in Pittsburgh or in Poway or in Israel. No. Our job is to daven on behalf of everyone. We daven for other people's peace as well. Let me share with you a Malbim that will absolutely blow your mind away, and with this we'll conclude. The Malbim says, what is Sha'alu Shalom Yushalayim? Seek the peace of Yushalayim. Yishlayu Oavayich. It's a very hard word to translate. If we were in a class right now, and we could be a little bit more interactive, so I would ask you, what does it mean? What am I doing here? Here we go, sorry. I wanted to get something for you, but here we go. Right? So what is it? Yishlayu Oavayich. They translate in Sfaria, may those who love you be at peace. Right? Pray for the peace of Yishlayim. May those who love you be at peace. What does that mean? Listen to the Malbim. I have it for you here. I have it for you here, but they only have the English. I'm going to read the Hebrew. You guys can follow along here in the English, but the English doesn't do justice, which is why I want to read the Hebrew as well. And this will blow your mind away. If you have a Mikros Gedolos at home, and you're able to make your way through somewhat not difficult Hebrew, it's worth learning this Malbim. In learning it over and over and over again, because it will simply blow your mind away. Says the Malbim the following. Omer kamoshim tisha l'shalom hagviya ha'ishit. If I ask you how you're feeling today, right? How are you feeling today? Nashiv lo sheshlom otalo ima ivayim v'akocho shebegviya mekusharim v'yesh lam shalom yachdav. You're not going to say, you know, Mas, I feel great, but my toe hurts, my foot hurts, my liver hurts. No, right? Your overall well-being is dependent on what? It's dependent on how your limbs feel. Does my tooth hurt? Does my toe hurt? Does my pinky hurt? If all of my limbs and all of my body parts feel good, then I'm going to say my body feels good, right? The body follows the body parts. Says here, right? Ki be'es yase pir b'neim az yavo amavis. If there's something wrong with one of my limbs, I'm not going to say, I feel great. I'm having a heart attack. But that's just my heart. The rest of me feels amazing. No, if you're having a heart attack, you're in big trouble. Call 911, right? Says the Malbim, the same analogy by body parts and the body exists for the Jewish people. Kein im yishalu l'shalom Yerushalayim. If you ask about the peace and the well-being of Yerushalayim, ne'mar hatshuva, the answer will be, listen to these words, it will blow your mind away. Sheshlomat talui im yishlo aivaych. Peace in Yerushalayim depends on whether you and I are at peace amongst each other. Let me repeat that. Peace in Yerushalayim is dependent upon whether or not you and I have peace amongst each other. Im ohavei Yerushalayim yu b'neihem shalva pnimis. If those who are living in Yerushalayim, those who love Yerushalayim, have peace amongst them, bazeh taloi shalom Yerushalayim. That will determine whether or not there's peace and safety and security in Yerushalayim. Achar she'ikar inyan Yerushalayim yachdas umah, because the whole purpose of Yerushalayim is for she'ir she'churba layachdav. The whole purpose of Yerushalayim is that we should get along with each other. V'im kein imis orer bein isheim riv umadanim uperir levavos. And therefore, if there is divisiveness, if there is infighting amongst the Jewish people, lo nimtza shalom Yerushalayim. You simply cannot find peace in Yerushalayim. That is an unreal comment of the Malbim. An absolutely unreal comment of the Malbim. Says the Malbim, how do you read this pasuk? Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. We seek out the peace of Yerushalayim, but what is it dependent on? Yishlayu ohavayich. If there's peace amongst us. If Jews are fighting with one another, if Jews are insulting one another and judging one another, then there will never be peace in Yerushalayim. Says the Malbim, Hatshuva, the answer to, is there peace in Yerushalayim? Talui im yishlo avaych. It's dependent. Talui. It's dependent on whether or not there is peace amongst the Jewish people. If there is, says the Malbim, then there'll be peace in Yerushalayim, because that's what Yerushalayim is. Yerushalayim is an ir shechubra layachdav. That's its mission, that's its mandate. And if it doesn't exist, then says the Malbim, Yerushalayim ceases to exist. And therefore, if there's riv, umadanim, uperit, if there's divisiveness, if there's infighting, then lo nimsa shalom Yerushalayim. Then we will never find peace in Yerushalayim. And so that's going to be homework number two. Homework number two is going to be the next time, please God, there should be peace in Yerushalayim until Mashiach comes. But the next time you're worried about Yerushalayim, the next time there's an incident in Yerushalayim, the next time you're davening for Yerushalayim and you're praying to Hashem that there should be peace for soldiers, for chayalim, whatever it is you're davening for, Hashem says, it's very simple. You want peace in Yerushalayim? First you have to make peace in your homes. First you have to make peace in your community. First you have to make peace amongst the Jewish people. And so long as people are judging people based on the kippah that they wear, the schools that they send to, or the development they live on, or where their background is, or the type of havara, Sfaradit, Ashkenazit, Hasidic, the longer we judge each other based on that, the longer they'll stop being that ultimate unity that you and I so deeply crave and yearn for in Yerushalayim. If we want Yerushalayim to truly be an Ir Shechurba LaYachta, if we want Yerushalayim to be the unification of Yerushalayim Shalmala with Yerushalayim Shalmata, if we want Yerushalayim to not have a golden dome on top of the Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira B'yameinu, says the Malbim, it's very simple. It's very simple. It starts with me. And it starts with you. And it starts with our communities of getting back past judgmentalism and getting past infighting and getting past silly bickering over silly superficial things, and to realize that we are all limbs of the exact same body. And so long as our pinkies are fighting with one another and one's in pain, Hashem is in pain. And the more that you and I get together and get along, the more you and I strive and work hard to feel that achdus, the more we will feel the unification of Yerushalayim. I heard a story this week that was unbelievable. True story, 100% true story. And I know that from a variety of reasons. I know of two people in our community that were in an argument with one another over something absurd. Total misunderstanding. Total misunderstanding. And they hadn't spoken in a number of days, and it was pretty nasty. And one of them told me that they were sitting there on Friday night. They were sitting at Kabbalah Shabbos. Don't forget, this is our first non-Kabbalah Shabbos Tillim in a number of weeks. Up until now, we've been studying Kabbalah Shabbos. And one of the things we've been talking about is the peacefulness and the tranquility of Kabbalah Shabbos. And he told me he was sitting there saying Kabbalah Shabbos, and he said to himself, how could I be davening to Hashem for a peaceful, tranquil Shabbos when I am not at peace with a fellow Jew here in Boca Raton? And he said to himself, I'm committing myself, Hashem, if you provide me with a safe, healthy, peaceful Shabbos, right after Shabbos, I'll call the person up, we'll make up, and we'll push it behind us. And that's exactly what happened. After Shabbos, the two of them spoke, they made up, and they moved past it. And I said to myself, Mika'amcha Yisrael, how great is the Jewish people? And that's literally a fulfillment of everything Hashem wants from us. Hashem tells us, if you want to feel peace, if you want to experience tranquility and serenity, whether in our homes, whether in Yerushalayim, it's very simple. It's not about voodoo, it's not about saying, right? It's very simple. Here it is. You have to stop fighting with other Jews. You have to stop judging other Jews. You have to stop bickering over silly things with other Jews. And the more you and I strive for peace and serenity and tranquility in our own lives, that will translate, says the Malbim, into peace and tranquility for Yerushalayim and for Klal Yisrael as a whole. And so we saw an unbelievable chapter of Tehillim this morning. One of my favorites. It's a song about Yerushalayim. It's a song of excitement and jubilation about the prospects of being Aliyah LaRegel, of coming to Yerushalayim, that anticipation, that excitement. And we saw some magnificent ideas. We saw some beautiful ideas about Om Dos Hayu Raglenu, how we understand that. We saw some beautiful ideas about Shalom Yerushalayim, about seeking out the peacefulness of Yerushalayim, that it starts, it's Taloi on our peace within our own homes, peace amongst the Jewish people. And ultimately, please God, with this chapter of Tehillim, we'll come into Yom Yerushalayim with a greater appreciation of what Yerushalayim represents, of what it means to be living in unprecedented times, where you and I can see the fulfillment of so many of the psukim. We should never, God forbid, for a second, take it for granted. Yom Yerushalayim is our wake-up call to remember the miraculous times that you and I are living in. That we should appreciate this as we come to the holiday of Shavuos, that as magnificent as Shavuos is here in Boca Raton, it is simply incomplete. As long as you and I are not being Ola L'Regel, as long as you and I are not bringing the Bikurim up to Yerushalayim with that great anticipation, with that great jubilation. But please God, with this chapter of Tehillim that we will recite over the next couple days and weeks, we have a greater appreciation for what it means to be living in the times that we live in and what it is that you and I should be yearning for, a time when we can see the ultimate fulfillment of Yerushalayim being an Ir Shechubra LeYachdav, as millions and millions of Jews congregate there celebrating the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone have a Yom Yerushalayim Sameach and a Chag Sameach if I don't see you before Shavuos, even though we will have class next Thursday morning.